All right, y'all, let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. After soccer game yesterday morning and cheering on another team in the afternoon and coaching this morning, my voice is tired, but good thing God is good and God will give me what I need to get through this, right? Amen. All right, so as we go through our following of the footsteps of Jesus and wandering around the Holy Land, last week we were in Cana, which we don't know the exact location of Cana, but this week we move from the semi-unknown city of Cana to the very well-known city of Nazareth by way of Galilee, because that's what our scripture told us this morning. It said, first Jesus went to Galilee and was teaching there, and then moved west, slightly south, into Nazareth, where he went on the Sabbath to the synagogue to teach. Now you have to realize back in this time, they would have preachers that would come to the Sabbath and would open up the scriptures and then expand upon them of how they would relate to life and living situations and everything. It wasn't necessarily the rabbis that did it, but they would have preachers. And here Jesus takes on the role of preacher, doesn't he? And if you look in the Gospel of Luke, this is Jesus's first outing in doing public ministry after his baptism. Last week in the Gospel of John, we had the wedding at Cana as his first public ministry moment of showing who he was as he turned water into wine. But as the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, lack the story of the wedding at Cana, this becomes the first time that Jesus is identified and publicly showing who he is. And how does he do it? Not by actions or miracles or hearing, or actions, miracles, or healing, but what does he do? But it's through preaching and asking the people to listen. Like Miss Becky said, here we have a listening moment. And it piggybacks so nicely with Jesus' baptism, because if we remember 2 weeks ago at Jesus' baptism, God said, "This is my beloved son, listen to him." And so the last thing God has said is, listen to him. And now here is the moment for listening. Now what does Jesus do? He walks up and he turns the scroll to its page. Now I don't know if you've ever seen the scriptures in a scroll. I've actually had that privilege. I love it that growing up, we would have our Thanksgiving service with a local Jewish congregation. And we would take turns as to which place it would be, if it would be at our church or if it would be at their congregation. And when it was at their congregation, I loved that they would bring out the scroll and they would read the scriptures, not from a book, but from the scrolls. So what would you have to do to move it along? You first have to unroll one side of the scroll and then be rolling it, and unroll and roll until you eventually get to your page. Not an easy one to say, hey, let's skip back to the previous book where it was, because that would be a little bit of work. But here it tells us that Jesus unrolls and rolls the scroll until he gets to the text that he wants to read, that comes out of the prophet Isaiah. Now here in the prophet Isaiah, Jesus is bringing good news to the people. Well, I should say, Jesus is bringing good news to most people, but not necessarily everyone. And what does he say about this text? But he says, today this scripture has been fulfilled. Now here's the interesting one. Isaiah prophesied of this great reversal back in his book. And then what do we have when Mary finds out that she's pregnant with Jesus? She repeats almost this exact same thing, that through her son, God is going to bring this great reversal of the lowly that will be lifted, and the proud that will be humbled. And so it comes through the prophets, and then it comes through Mother Mary. And now here Jesus is reading it out of Isaiah and saying, now this is being fulfilled through me. And what does he say that's going to be fulfilled? Let's read it one more time because it's worthy of being heard again. As I would say to kids, do you have your listening ears on? Are you ready to hear? And the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Here we see good news, but who do we see the good news first for? That Jesus says this is to be filled. It's for the poor, the prisoner, the blind, and the oppressed. It's not for the most rich. It's not for the most powerful. It's not for the most successful. But Jesus first says, I am here for the lowly. I am here for the ones who have been suffering. I am here for the ones who need me most. Of course, this is not good news for the oppressor. It is not good news for those who are holding prisoners. It is not good news for the rich who will be humbled. And it's not good news for the powerful. So we have those who will be brought down, and we have those that will be lifted. But here's the thing. There's such a huge percentage that sit there right in the middle. So many who would say, well, what about us, Jesus? We're not the poor that need to be lifted. We're not the rich that need to be humbled. What about us? Well, I was reading from another preacher, and he was actually relating this back to the Black Lives Matter movement. The Black Lives Matter movement, when we heard a lot of people saying, well, Black Lives Matter, but shouldn't it be All Lives Matter? And this preacher was noting that it wasn't that all lives don't matter, but that in that time and place, those who needed to be lifted up were our Black brothers and sisters. And he put it this way. He said, imagine you're in a cul-de-sac and one house is on fire and you call the fire department and they come out, and what do? But they put out the fire on that house. Now, none of us, if we were living in the rest of that cul-de-sac, would say, now, why is the fire department not coming to our house during this situation? Why are they not focusing on us? And the answer is because our house is not on fire. We are blessed that we are not needing them. The scripture begs us to wonder whose house is on fire, who's needing to be lifted up, who right now is especially in need of the good news of Jesus' message, Jesus' life, and Jesus' salvation. There are those of us who are safe and secure in the arms of Jesus, that we have our feet under us, that we are doing well and we know the love of our Savior. But who is needing that help? It makes me think of when Kylie was 5 and Aiden was 3, and Maddie was just an infant. And we were driving in our minivan back when I was a minivan driver, and we were going to a tumbling practice that Kylie had. And as we were going down a street, another car wasn't paying attention and turned left on an unprotected left right into our van. 2 cars that crunched and spun and it's a sound and a smell that is burned into my brain forever. I could hear it, I could feel it, and then I heard the cries of my babies in the back of the car. Now, fortunately, everybody was okay, especially them. But one of the blessings was that there was a bystander who saw this accident. And what did she do? But she stepped in. She was obviously a mama. And here's me, one mama with three kids in need of help that just went through an incredible ordeal for them. And what did this mom do? But she pulled over and saw me with my three kids and immediately grabbed from her car that she happened to have juice boxes and snacks. And she sat on the curb with Kylie and Aiden and mama'd them while I had Maddie and dealt with the firefighters and the paramedics and the police that they were there. Now imagine this. Who needed the help? I did. And the help came. But one of the greatest helps was the other mama that took care of my kids when I needed it and had just what they needed. In our communities, in our lives, there are so many in crisis, so many who relate to the poor, the imprisoned, the blind, and the oppressed, that life has gotten the better of them, that they are living a life outside of the one that we know with Jesus, that they have a system against them, that they are living a life with a lack of love in it. So many desperate situations. And here we have an opportunity to be like that mama on the side of the road, to be secure and comfortable in our place with Jesus, and to be hands and feet that help Jesus to attend to those in crisis. To not be jealous because Jesus is calling them out and giving them attention, but to be excited about our place and the way that we can help our Savior. To be a helper is a beautiful and amazing thing and can allow us to be life changers. My friends, look around. There are many houses on fire. There are many who need the good news. Are you ready to help them hear it and experience it in the way you walk alongside our Savior? Will you pray with me? God, we give you thanks. For you sent Jesus to first proclaim the good news for all people, and then to show the good news through the actions he made and the life that he gave. And we just ask that through Jesus and your Holy Spirit's presence in this world, that you will help us to be there in places of crisis, that you will help us to lift up those who are feeling lowly, that you will help us to attend to those who are wounded and needing your healing, that you will help us to continue to feed and care for the poor, and to be able to recognize who is the oppressed and imprisoned, and to see how we can help set them free. For you first set us free. You first gave us your love. And now you invite us to walk alongside you, sharing that love with those around us. For this is the good news. fulfilled through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.